You are listening to In Conversation with Standard Bank Corporate and Investment Banking. Chapter 3 of the Beverages Report lays out the importance of the value chain in reaching end consumers in a profitable manner. It articulates the effort multinational corporations have put in to strengthen and protect their distribution and how family-owned businesses have leveraged competence in other categories to compete in the soft drinks market. We asked Ismail Mohammed, sector analyst in consumer sector client coverage, about some of the challenges facing the soft drinks value chain.
The critical piece of information there is an understanding of the size of the informal market within sub-Saharan Africa. So if you look at South Africa, for example, we have a highly formal retail market, but the rest of sub-Saharan Africa is probably sitting at about an 80% informal market. The challenge that creates is that it's much harder to for your product to actually reach the end consumer. 9 times out of 10 more expensive, more difficult to reach with your traditional trucks, and it also has an impact on the quality of the final product. So that is a big challenge within the market when it comes to distribution.
What about inputs into the production process?
The current environment is one where sort of 80 to 90% of your input into your soft drinks is imported, mainly your sugar and your concentrate, which creates a risk for the local players, especially because of that currency fluctuation. That is a big risk for the local manufacturers. What's changing is two things. One, for fruit juices, they are increasingly able to source local pulp, which is beneficial. And I think it finds favor with the local consumers who really appreciate local mangoes and local orange juice. And the second part is there's a big drive, particularly driven by CCBA, to localize around 60% of their production. So there's a big drive to localize some level of sugar, some level of concentrate, and some of the packaging. So that's what's changing in the market. So currently, yes, 80 to 90% of the inputs are imported, which is an issue, but a lot of the local manufacturers and the multinationals are focusing on trying to localize as much as possible.
Now let's talk about distribution.
The structure is one where you've got the manufacturer, the distribution center, and then the final end retail channel, be that a shopping mall or a smaller spaza shop or a dukkha. The multinationals such as Pepsi and Coke have a very, very close relationship with those distributors. It's an integral part of their entire value chain. And so much so that while they are considered to be third party, the relationship between the multinational bottler and the distributor is so close that it's almost impossible for you to separate the two. And they're exclusive. So for example, if a distributor were to distribute Coke products, those were the only products that he could distribute. He could not stock someone else's products. The scenario is slightly different in Tanzania, where you've got the extra element of a stockist. The stockist is actually allowed to stock competing products and different categories. So that creates a slight issue because, you know, ultimately what the stockist and the distributor represent is they are the first to get feedback from the consumers on new products, on new pack sizes, on new prices. So it's very important for the bottler to be able to get that information and feed that back into their strategy. What we find with the local soft drinks manufacturers is that their distributors are very closely linked to them. So a lot of these businesses are family owned, and that family extends not only in manufacturing, but also to the bottlers and sometimes to the end retail channels.
What does this mean for a new investor?
For a new investor coming in, they've got to be very cognizant of the fact that the multinationals are very protective over their value chain, and so are the local guys, because it represents a big extension of that family business.
Look out for the next podcast as we look at how global and local trends have surfaced in the East African market.